3. If you get Isaiah 53 and then also 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's go and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your great sacrifice, and if you can give us, our mortal minds, some understanding to understand the immortality of that day, the great sacrifice, and then also to remember your soon return, sooner the better. And I pray you'd help us to be faithful till then. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in 1 Peter 1... So I'm going to go in detail in Isaiah 53. Obviously, won't be able to go through it today. Some feel it's the most important chapter in the Bible. I'm not sure. Maybe top three, that's for sure. It's obviously the most important for you and I. Maybe the most important for God would be maybe Revelation 19, because that's the second coming. But To my shame, I don't recall going in detail of Isaiah 53, and so I want to definitely do that. 1 Peter 1:10, it says, "Of which the salvation, the prophets." Now that's Old Testament, the prophets. And remember, if you remember or know, that Peter, James and John retained their apostleship to the Jews where Paul went to the Gentiles. They made that deal, that agreement in Galatians 2. So when you read these letters back here, they're going to be primarily Jewish. Jewish first, Gentile second. So then it says, "Of which the salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand." The, notice the sufferings of Christ, and then comma, "and the glory that should follow." Now in the Jewish mindset, they thought that was back to back. This is why in Acts 1, the apostles asked Jesus, "Is it time for your kingdom?" So that was a valid question. We have hindsight as an advantage. We know now that between the comma, at the comma, and the word "and" is a 2,000-year gap. That's the church time period. So the sufferings of Christ, first coming, and the glory that should follow, they thought it was going to be right back to back, but now we know it's not. So it was probably readily to be available, but it depended on Israel. And then when they rejected the Messiah in Acts 2 and 7, then it went into the time span of the church. So that's what the Jewish mindset is. Now in Isaiah 53, it's all about the first coming, the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And this lays a foundation for the church. You hear a lot of people talking about trying to be Christ-like. How about the sufferings? They want to do other Christ-like stuff. And so there's going to be harassments and sufferings and problems for the born-again believer. Now, in America, it's slightly different. The sufferings, the persecution, harassment is slightly varied compared to being a Christian in North Korea or China or any Muslim country. Okay, and of course, the more Muslims come here, then they're going to manifest this. So there's this, in their case, it's often a matter of life and death. And in early American days, it was a matter of life and death. But because of those people that were faithful, now you and I have some of the liberties that we have. So it's interesting. The Jewish rabbis strongly deter, discourage Jews to read Isaiah 53. And if they, by chance, get a Jew that doesn't listen to them, they will tell them that this chapter is about Israel, not about a person. So there's obviously a reason for that. This is the passage that there's an Ethiopian eunuch, an Ethiopian fella in Acts, who became a religious Jew. He was obviously a black man, but he became a religious Jew following Jewish religion. That's called a Jewish proselyte. He was in Jerusalem in Acts 8 following a Jewish custom. And maybe he heard a rabbi say, don't read Isaiah 53. So he said, well, I gotta, if somebody tells me not to, I got to look at it. Well, okay, but he's on his way back down to Ethiopia. As he left, he's heading down, and he's in a place called Gaza. It's the same Gaza today. And he's sitting in his chariot, and he had his political bodyguards around him because he was a government official of Ethiopia. And he's reading Isaiah. He had a scroll of Isaiah. He's reading it. He evidently was reading it out loud because the Spirit of God said to Philip, he said, Phil, I need you to go talk to somebody. And Philip was having a great evangelistic campaign up north. And it's like the Lord says, I need you to leave this and go talk to somebody. And he's like, one guy? Yeah, I need you to go talk to this guy. And so he gets down there, I don't know, maybe with the aid of the Spirit of God. He heard him reading this out loud, and then he said, he came, ran up to the chariot, and he said, you understand what you're reading? The guy said, no, I need some help. And he was reading about a four-legged lamb, sheep, but he understood, this isn't a lamb, this is a man. He's got that. And then Philip preached on him, Jesus. And then after he preached on him, Jesus, then he'd heard about this baptism thing, so he asked about getting baptized. And then Philip said with a question, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He didn't say must. He said, you may. And then the guy said, I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. That's the confession. You know what the new Bibles do with that confession? They pull it out and throw it away. They read 36 to 38. So that's what he was reading. So we're going to read a portion of it, Isaiah 53. And in your Bible, if you have paragraph marks, you should have one at verse 4 and 10. I know a good reference Bible that has them in there. And so you got them right there. So that's a three-part.